China and Japan have been in a diplomatic struggle this week over anti-Japanese demonstrations in China. Thousands of Chinese filled the streets in several cities over the past weekend, and organizers are trying to get support for more demonstrations in the next few days. They were protesting Japanese textbooks that downplay Japan's treatment of China in World War II. They're also upset about Japan's attempt to get a permanent seat on the UN Security Council. Then, on Wednesday, Japan added more fuel to the fire by announcing that it will allow drilling in a part of the East China Sea claimed by both China and Japan.
Commentator John Pomfret was in China last week, and he's been corresponding with some of the demonstrators since he's been back in the States. He says that the fact that the Chinese government has allowed these anti-Japanese demonstrations at all is a tacit endorsement of their message.
Students demonstrating in China bring back memories of the Tiananmen Square protests of 1989. But these Chinese students protesting last weekend were not calling for democracy. They were crying for blood, Japanese blood. Unlike the Tiananmen Square marches, these protests had tacit government support. Students were bussed in by their universities, and the protests were given limited coverage by the state-run Chinese media. Chinese have ample reason to harbor ill feelings towards Japan. But the real issue is not Japan's history, it's China's future. China is becoming a global power. Is this how China plans on dealing with global issues, allowing its students to go on a destructive binge? Since the Tiananmen Square crackdown of 1989, the Chinese government has been desperate to find something for its people to believe in, other than democracy and human rights. It used to be that faith in communism united China, but that faith has died. To fill the void, the party offered up a love of money and a nasty form of nationalism. The love of money has worked beyond the wildest dreams of China's leadership. Witness the gleaming skylines in dozens of Chinese cities, not just Beijing and Shanghai. But the nasty nationalism, encouraged by the Communist Party, is troubling, because it is not tempered by other views. It is becoming the main coin of political discourse, as the government blocks almost everything else. Internet essayists lobbying for democratic reforms are banned from writing. Protests on other issues are almost always illegal. But if students want to call for death to Japan, they are bussed in on university buses, allowed to pelt the Japanese embassy with rocks, and heralded on China's state-controlled internet as patriots. Of course, the party has other reasons to stoke anti-Japanese feelings. Last weekend's protests played neatly into a campaign by the Chinese government to block Japan's bid for a UN Security Council seat. The fight over Japanese textbooks and Tokyo's role in the UN might seem to be about how Japan deals with its past, but it's really about how China deals with its future. China is a rising power in Asia, but it is a country still searching for direction. China's leaders say the world has nothing to fear from China's rise, and that China will never become a bully. But the state-allowed demonstrations on the streets of China's cities last weekend were calling for blood.
John Pomfret is working on a book about China.